You've heard the benefits of sobriety, amazing sleep, and less anxiety. But what happens if you quit drinking and now you can't sleep and you're super anxious? Enter Tenassi, my sleep saviors, and they have science to back up their sleep, anxiety, and pain-relieving powers. Back in 2016, they invested a $2.5 million grant to Middle Tennessee State University to study the hemp plant. Turns out their special patent-pending CBD-CBDA formula is twice as effective as CBD alone and can be more effective than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. So if you're tired of tossing and turning like a rotisserie chicken, then Tenassi's got your back with their range of great products from tinctures to gummies to lotions. Tenassi is my go-to when I can't sleep or I have way too much anxiety. I'm so glad that I discovered them. So go to Tenassi.com and use the code POWER to get 25% off your order. That's Tenassi.com, T-A-N-A-S-I, to get 25% off your first order with the promo code POWER. Drinking stops being fun and enjoyable, but we continue to do it anyways. So why is this? We know it makes us miserable and we want to stop, but by 4 p.m. or after a few days of sober time, we talk ourselves back into it. In this episode, you'll learn about the adaptations that happen in the brain as we drink heavily and how this leads to compulsive drinking despite the consequences. I'll explain how alcohol changes our dopamine system to increase cravings, prevent us from stopping once we've started, and keep us hooked on alcohol long after it stopped being fun. We'll end by discussing why we continue to drink at this point and how this recovers in sobriety. So let's dig in. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that we all know is involved in addiction. A common belief is that dopamine is what causes the pleasure that we feel from alcohol. When we drink alcohol, endorphins are released that bind to opioid receptors, triggering the release of dopamine. Endorphins are what feels good, and dopamine makes us pay attention to it and remember how it feels good. The reward that we get from alcohol isn't necessarily pleasure. It could be reduced anxiety, the ability to sleep, connection, reduced depression, forgetting about trauma, getting rid of boredom. And dopamine makes us remember this experience. It causes our brain to focus more intensely on the experience, so it can create a strong memory of how we got the reward. Dopamine is actually motivational. It's not really about pleasure, because remember, our drinking isn't fun anymore at the end. The memories that are created of the reward experience are used to motivate us to seek out that reward again. If you can't remember how you got a reward, who you were with, where you were, what time it was, or how you were feeling, then how could you find that reward again? So when we encounter these environmental cues again, it causes a strong urge to seek out alcohol, meaning a craving, because your brain is anticipating a reward. Dopamine also plays a role in tolerance because unnaturally high levels of dopamine are released in response to alcohol and other drugs, so the brain becomes overstimulated and overwhelmed. Just like how the brain responds to the relaxing effects of alcohol to cause or worsen anxiety, the brain will do two things to try to adapt to overstimulation from dopamine. It will produce less dopamine, and it will reduce the amount of dopamine receptors that are available. So then less dopamine can bind at a time and stimulate the brain. So remember, a receptor is something that a neurotransmitter binds to that allows it to send a message. If you didn't listen to episode 22 about anxiety, then make sure to check that out because it's a very similar adaptation. Both of these changes result in alcohol having less of an effect on the brain, so then we have to drink more. It's a bit easier to visualize with anxiety. So alcohol stimulates the release of GABA, which binds to GABA receptors in the brain. When this happens, a message is transmitted to slow down brain activity, which is why you feel relaxed. You're not actually relaxed. Your brain is just slower, so you care less. If there are less receptors available, then this message of slowing down can't be transmitted as much, and you have to drink more alcohol to get the same effect. Same thing for dopamine here. We have a few different dopamine receptors in the brain. D1 receptors are responsible for memory, attention, impulse control, and movement. D2 receptors are responsible for movement, attention, sleep, motivation, memory, and learning. And they're just located in different areas of the brain. D2 receptors are in the areas of the brain that are associated with cognitive and emotional functions. So low D2 receptors lead to impulsive behavior, like choosing smaller immediate rewards over larger rewards that are either delayed or require more effort. I discussed both of these in depth in episode 125 when I talked about us losing our off switch. So the D1 neurons are part of the go pathway in the brain, and the D2 neurons are part of the no-go pathway. This is part of the decision-making process, or the go, no-go process. Your brain decides if it should do something or not do it. So in this case, continue drinking or stop drinking. When D2 neurons get activated, it tells you to wait, stop, or do nothing. When D1 neurons are activated, it tells you to go. So the D2 neurons are like your off switch. And as we drink more and more, our D2 receptors adapt and then they become less available. So we lose the ability to stop or wait. At the same time, the D1 pathway becomes strengthened and more sensitive. And we just keep drinking on an automatic reward loop. Loss of control is one of the earliest signs of addiction, and this D2 adaptation is seen even in people who aren't addicted yet. Studies have found that this does not seem to improve in sobriety, so once we blast our D2 receptors, they don't recover, which isn't a huge deal. It just means that you can't moderate ever for the rest of your life. So don't get any ideas about being cured after a certain amount of sober time. And this could also be a pre-existing vulnerability where we have less D2 receptors to begin with, so then we're less able to stop drinking. We can't have an extreme amount of dopamine in the brain forever. The brain will make it harder for dopamine to bind, so it doesn't have an overflow of dopamine at all times. So then you have to drink more alcohol for it to feel rewarding. This effect is the strongest during and after detox. So that's why you'll often hear that things can get worse before they get better. So listen to episode 170 for more about that process and how it impacts your ability to stay sober. A 2004 study published in the American Journal of Psychiatry looked at AUD patients who were 2 to 4 weeks sober and assessed their cravings after being exposed to images of alcohol. They found that compared to healthy controls, AUD patients had significantly lower D2 receptor availability, and craving intensity was significantly and negatively correlated with D2 receptor availability. So this means that the less D2 receptors that are available for dopamine to bind, the stronger the cravings were. So the more that your brain adapts, the more you crave alcohol. They also found that brain activation was greater in the drinkers versus healthy controls, which we would expect. But in addition to this, the people with lower D2 receptor availability also had significantly greater cue-induced activation of the brain. So meaning cues had more power on their brain. They lit up the brain more and activated all of the seeking behavior mechanisms more when they had less D2 receptors. So again, the more that your brain adapts from alcohol, the harder it is to get out of the loop. The prefrontal cortex was activated the most by cues, and this area of the brain is involved in attention and conditioned seeking. We talked a lot about how our attention gets stuck on alcohol in episode 128, and we get stuck on cues and cravings, and we can't redirect our attention. I think of it kind of like a zombie, where we just compulsively seek out alcohol without thinking about it. It's mindless. And this is what I try to help people with the most when they join my community or one of my programs, is turning back on their brain so they can have self-awareness and make decisions that align with the life that they want to live. Alcohol keeps us on autopilot, just reacting to the world around us instead of living in it. And here's the important thing. These alcohol-induced changes promote a wanting effect rather than a liking effect. So eventually, the more we drink, the more our brain adapts. So then we need more alcohol to stay balanced and regulate our brain chemistry. Wanting alcohol promotes alcohol seeking, aka cravings. But when the brain adapts in this way, we've usually stopped liking alcohol. We drink because we need it. We need it to regulate our brain chemistry and to feel somewhat normal. And then we convince ourselves that we can't live without it. This D2 receptor adaptation is one example of how our brain adapts to need alcohol. Another example is what I discuss with cortisol in episode 201 and what I discuss with anxiety in episode 22. When we first start drinking, alcohol releases a lot of dopamine, serotonin, GABA, and endorphins. Dopamine is rewarding. Serotonin makes us happy. GABA makes us relaxed and slows down our brain. And endorphins feel good. As someone moves from early drinking to chronic heavy drinking, this switches. Dopamine, GABA, serotonin, and endorphins are all decreased. And glutamate, which speeds up the brain, is increased. So things feel dull. You don't feel pleasure from anything anymore except large quantities of alcohol, and you feel depressed and anxious. As we get more and more addicted, our glucose metabolism gets all messed up, and then we become more and more reliant on using acetate for energy. I described this process in previous episodes, which I'll reference in the show notes, but alcohol provides the brain with acetate, and that can be used as an energy source. So when we quit drinking, the brain has to relearn how to utilize glucose for energy, and we feel completely exhausted. Based on what I've seen from my community members, people generally stop complaining about fatigue after about 2 months. A 2017 study published in Neuropharmacology used imaging to detect dopamine release for alcohol use disorder patients versus healthy controls. They use something called a radioligand, which is just a small molecule that, in this case, binds to dopamine receptors. Then they gave the participants two things, either a drug that stimulates the release of dopamine or a placebo. If dopamine is released in the brain in response to the drug, then it should kick the radioligand off of the dopamine receptors, and that's what's being seen in the imaging. They found that in healthy controls, there is dopamine release, but they saw no change in binding for the AUD patients, meaning that there was a lot less dopamine released and nothing to kick off that small molecule off the dopamine receptors. Even worse, they found no difference between the placebo and the drug that causes the release of dopamine in the AUD group, meaning that we develop the same blunted dopamine effect as I was explaining recently with cortisol. So a drug that's designed to make the brain release dopamine doesn't release any dopamine in AUD patients' brain. This is why we feel a lack of pleasure towards the end of our drinking and in the first few months or up to the first year of sobriety. So just like with cortisol, small or moderate amounts of alcohol have no impact. So then we have to drink large amounts of alcohol to fix these adaptations that the heavy drinking caused. And then the more we drink, the worse the adaptations get. So we want alcohol even when we hate it because our brains need it to function. Alcohol caused so many adaptations that we can't feel happy, relaxed, motivated, rewarded, energized, or less stressed without it. Our brains have lost the ability to regulate themselves. A little bit of alcohol doesn't do it. It requires a lot to temporarily fix these adaptations and make us feel normal. Nobody wants to crave a drug compulsively, so we justify it to make it easier on ourselves. We make excuses that the weather is nice, to justify drinking alone. We make excuses that we can't socialize without it, to justify being the first person in the group that's drunk, blacking out, and embarrassing ourselves. And we make excuses that we're bored and alcohol is fun, to justify getting drunk alone on the couch. These adaptations are not permanent, though. After getting sober, the brain heals and recalibrates. Your brain will learn how to feel happiness, relaxation, and satisfaction if you give it a chance to recover. So this means completely abstaining from alcohol and getting some support to learn coping skills that you hadn't learned before. So if you're struggling with wanting to drink even though you hate it, or feeling dull in sobriety and like, why am I even bothering? I hope that this was validating for you. I'll link all the episodes I reference and some ways you can get support in the show notes, and I will talk to you in the next one.
Addiction impacts all of us. Addiction's consequences run through all of us. From ourselves to our loved ones and through our communities, addiction creates so much loss and grief. My name is Dwayne Osterlin, and I'm the host of the Addicted Mind podcast, a show featuring personal stories, expert guests, and vital information about addiction and addiction recovery. We'll talk with leading treatment providers to discuss the latest research and treatment options for this devastating disease and advocate for mental health awareness. We discuss topics like the importance of creating a community of support, to helping loved ones, to some of the latest research on psychedelic medicines. The Addicted Mind podcast has been about creating hope, listening to stories of many amazing people that have overcome addiction and are thriving. If you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, subscribe to the Addicted Mind podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or check out theaddictedmind.com. New episodes every Monday. See you there.